This is Dwayne Meyer. We're here on the HRBB podcast.
Recording from our headquarters in Old Town Orange, welcome to the Hot Rod Five Boys podcast.
Hold on, I'm going to turn off Perry Mason so you don't hear it in the background.
Fucking Perry. How old are you, dude? Come on, bro.
It's a Perry 65. Mason Murder, She Wrote hour.
Are you 65? That's crazy.
Yep.
Well, if I'm 50, that sounds about right.
Welcome back, listeners. This is episode 80 of the Hot Rods by Boyd podcast. It's a beautiful Friday afternoon here in the city of Orange, headquarters of HRBB. What's up, Chris? How
we
doing?
Oh, we're doing real good.
Doing real good. All right. I like that. Cool. Well, we got a recurring guest back today.
Checking in with him.
Mr. Dwayne Meyer, how we doing today, buddy?
I'm still alive.
Sounds good. Watching
in case anybody wondered.
I'm sorry we interrupted you.
I know people are hoping. I know a lot of people are hoping, but
well, we interrupted your Perry Mason, you know, probably a mid-day nap. Yeah. You know,
is that either Perry Mason emergency, Adam 12, that's all the shit.
Adam 12.
Adam 12.
What are you, what station are you tuning into?
Well, yeah.
Gosh.
Me TV, it's called.
Me TV. That's all the stuff.
It's all the oldies.
We'll make sure we wrap up in time so you can still hit that early bird special for dinner tonight.
Yeah.
They're not back on now. I don't need to watch it now till like 6 o'clock tonight when emergency comes on.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So what's
I like to remember California, so I watch Emergency. It reminds me of all the fucking old streets and all the shit that I used to drive around on.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you've been back in Wisconsin for how long now? 5 years?
7 years.
7 years. Yeah, that's so crazy.
17.
Dude.
17.
You haven't been back for 17. Oh, 27.
Yeah, 2017.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That's crazy. That seems like a long time. I mean, time's flown
by. It seems like a long time to me, too.
Like, well... I don't know. Well, no, it seems like you were here for a long time, but then it seems like you've only been back for a few years.
Well,
but,
that's because I kept coming back and forth every winter.
Yeah, true.
When I first got back, I fucking hated the winters, so I just kept coming back there during the winter. And now the last couple winters, I haven't done that.
Well, and then
not that I like it any better.
Well, then
not
once
that
we
I
had
like it any
2020,
better, just,
yeah, 2020 was like a time
but
warp.
I had, yeah.
So
I think I came back in 2020. I didn't care about COVID.
Yeah. Well, you lived in it. Well, your state wasn't as strict as everybody else's, so, you know.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't like California, but it was still on shutdown and restricted. Everything was restricted and shit. But
that don't stop you. Not Dwayne Meyer.
Didn't stop me. No, I got there's rules. There's the California rules. There's the everybody else rules, and then there's the Dwayne rules.
Yeah, we all know about the Dwayne rules, you know? Yeah, so, hey, well, listen, today we put it out on social media because, you know, we appreciate you coming on because, we, you know, every August now we're celebrating the 31 days of Boyd. And,
yep,
you know,
I've been following it.
Yeah, we've been posting some historical stuff, you know, and so, I don't know, I threw it out there this morning on Instagram and said, hey, any questions you have, what's your favorite episode, any American Hot Rod memories you want to share and stuff, and people's questions, overwhelmingly, you know what the question is. Is Dwayne really a jerk? Is he really a jerk?
Is he really an asshole?
Yeah, is he really an asshole?
You know what, at least some things never change.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, at least they're still asking about you, Dwayne, you know? I mean, we're going on like, basically 20 years, right? 20 years since the first season aired, or is it 21? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, it was about 2000, when was it? 2003?
Yeah. I would say it was 3 when they started filming like the pilot and stuff. That's my
I remember is your dad coming out to me and said, "Hey, what do you think of this? Discovery wants to do a TV show." And I go, "I don't care. I'm in."
Yeah.
And then he says, "Well, they sent this pilot, and that pilot was of Chopper, American Chopper."
Yep. Yeah, they were already rolling that one.
We all went in the office and watched that pilot, And I go, I just kind of laughed, but I said, yeah, why not? Hey.
Yeah.
I could be as big an ass. I could be as big as asshole as fucking senior.
Yeah, not Boyd Senior, right? Paul Senior.
No, yeah. No, Paul Senior.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That on the other hand, your dad always said, when I asked him about shit, he'd say, you know, you wear the black hat, I'll wear the white hat.
Yeah.
He wanted to be the good guy. He wanted me to be the bad guy.
And I think literally, too, I think he only wore the white hat, and you wore the actual black hat.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. That is exactly how it went.
Always wore that.
Yeah, once in a while, I switched up to a red hat, but most of the time, it was a black hat.
Yeah. No, it was a good dynamic. Yeah, but I mean, hey, you pulled it off because, you know, you did pull it off. You were the asshole for a minute, you know?
So what are you trying to tell me? I'm a good actor?
I don't think some of that. I gotta tell you, some of that wasn't acting. I don't think you were. I think you were really trying to be a dickhead, you know, and it worked.
I might have been. You know, you try to get into your role.
Yeah,
right?
I might have been. Yeah, no, I think you succeeded. Yeah. Oh, trust me. When I set up a booth at a show, it's just like. You know, the questions I get asked are, what did your dad do with all his cars? Or is Dwayne really an asshole? And it's like, you know, why don't they play the TV show anymore? You know? But, man, I mean, what's crazy is, and I'm sure you get it too, like you get kids in their, I don't want to call them kids, guys in their mid to late 20s, you know, or even early 30s and go, I grew up on that show. And you go,
yeah, you know, wow. Sometimes I do, but a lot of times when the younger generation, they I say, you ever watch it? No, but my dad used to watch it.
You know?
Or my grandpa used to watch it. That's when I really feel, oh, yeah, I watch it with my grandpa. I'm like, oh, shit.
Well, and also, too, and I'm sure it has. So here's the situation. Everyone gets this keyboard courage and call, as Dwayne's an asshole. But you know what? I've been with you at shows. Everybody wants to come up and shake your hand. Everyone's got a smile. I don't think has anybody ever come up to you and started shit?
Like, no, not that I can remember.
Yeah, you know, and it's all
on the internet. Everybody's brave on the internet.
Everybody's a tough guy. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I've seen you. I've been to shows where you've been signing autographs, or we've been in a foreign country together at these car shows, and everyone seems to be pretty cool.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. I think the
foreign countries. I think the foreign countries like me even more, probably because they don't understand what I said.
Probably, right? Yeah, no. I mean, when we went to Belgium together in 2011, and that was nothing but a good experience, you know?
No, that was fun. That was fun. I got drunk a lot. And
yeah.
The guys took me out there and got drunk.
I still remember you and that promoter guy, that Nick. You guys, you spent like this whole dinner, and this guy, the Nick guy, he was a nice guy, but between him and Dwayne, I was amazed. These guys were talking to each other in Rambo First Blood quotes. Remember that at dinner?
No, but I did know all the quotes from Rambo First Blood.
Oh, dude, I was just like, holy shit! Yeah, and he.
You want to know something funny? When I worked for. Ryan at West Coast Customs.
Yeah.
He found out that was my favorite movie, and he had a movie theater at his house, and he would get every Friday, hey, come on over tonight. We'll watch Rambo. I already seen it last week. Yeah, we'll watch it again.
Oh, how many times have you seen Rambo First Blood?
Oh, God. I don't know. 100?
Wow. Yeah, but it was funny.
Probably.
It was funny. Him and this guy Nick were at dinner, and this is a Belgian guy, right? And I'm like, this guy was.
Yeah,
he would say a line, and then Dwayne would say a line. They went on for like 30 minutes.
I don't remember this, but
you don't remember.
I believe it. I just don't remember.
Oh no, dude, we were amazed. I was like, wow. I was amazed that you. I didn't realize that was your favorite movie, but then I was amazed that this guy from Belgium knew exactly. Just as much as you.
I didn't even know they had TV in Belgium.
Well, that's how ignorant you are. But, you know. Hey, that's how they. Hey, buddy, that's why they wanted you to go over and sign autographs. Well, you know. Yeah. No. Yeah. So how has Dwayne's life changed since American Hot Rod? I mean,
you know, it really hasn't. that much. I mean, I still work on cars every day, and the only thing that's changed is like maybe since the last podcast, I get older and less missing California. I don't miss California as much as I used to. When I first got out here, I couldn't stand it. I wanted to go back, but anyways, I made the choice to move here, so here I am. I'm stuck here. Yeah. I mean, I could move back, but you know, the prices of everything now.
Oh, it's crazy, you know? Dwayne. It's so crazy. I mean, it's everything. The cost of everything has gone through the roof, and the problem is,
I know.
It's just, you know, right now we're seeing a little downturn. I mean, not just in the wheel business, but I'm talking to people in all industries, you know. And
well, there's things people need and there's things people want. And what people want is wheels.
Yeah, and they want to build a hot rod.
You can always come up with the money for the things you want. You just can't come up with the money for the things you need.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Or you don't want to.
Well, it's like, yeah, it's, well, you know what though? I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see where we're going, but I don't know. I mean, I still see there's still like some real positive stuff happening in our industry. It's just, I think it's just moving at a lot slower pace, right? Because there was a lot of money flowing around in 2020, 2021.
And the other thing is, the other thing is that, I don't know, what was I talking about? Never mind.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
You're having a Biden moment right there. So anyways, you know, so what you need to really do is, yeah, so anyways. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of time has gone. I mean, it's amazing that we just talked about it. 20 years has gone by like crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, on the 28th of this month, you know, my dad would have turned 80, you know?
80. Yeah. I was thinking it was. So yeah. He's been gone. He died
16 years.
63, right?
Yeah.
So it's been that long. Huh?
Well, wow. Yeah, he was. Yeah. So he's been gone now 16 years. Yeah, he would have been 64.
No.
He was 63, and then that year he was, you know, was about to turn 64. So, yeah.
Wait a minute. He would have been 64 when?
Well, the year he died. He's born in August, but he died.
He would have been. Yeah,
he was 63. He was turning 64 that year.
Yeah, he was still 63.
But yeah, I mean, the industry kind of took off a little bit there, you know? I mean, the TV show thing. I mean, I don't even keep track of how many TV car shows there are.
Oh, that's where I was going with that last comment that I was going to make was the industry has changed a lot because, I mean, you see it as well as I do. The pre-war cars, they're just not as many people that want them anymore, you know? The value is down on hot rods, I believe.
Yeah, hot rods are kind of weird, but trucks are still pretty strong, you know?
No, trucks are strong, but that's a whole other industry, you know? Trucks kept going. I mean, maybe not a 30s truck so much, but 50s trucks, 60s trucks, 70s trucks, they're all very popular.
Yeah. Well, and we've seen it fluctuate over the years. I remember there was a period of time where, you know, you were working just, I mean, we had a muscle, we called it the muscle car shop, right? We had
right.
And that's when the wheel shop moved and you started doing muscle cars over there because there was certain, you know, muscle cars were hot at that period of time.
That's right. Me and Lars went over there.
You know, and
actually,
then,
you know, Mike Martin, his is the first car I did over there, that 63 Impala lightweight.
Yeah.
Z 11 car.
Yeah, we have some pictures. Z11. We have some pictures of that.
We'll
post that because there's pictures of you with that thing all stripped down. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And that car, and then we took that car when it was finished to Indy, the Super Chevy. Mike and I and his partner Phil, we all drove to Indy and took that trailer of that car and another car that Mike wanted to race. He had like a 61 Impala. He had like three of them things, a 61, a 62, a 63. He had all kinds of that stuff back then. But we went to Indy, and that was quite a trip. A trip I'll never forget.
Going to Indy, yeah. One of my more memorable trips was the infamous Shazoom trip to Indy with my dad and Gray and Bob.
It wasn't even the trip to Indy that was crazy. It was the trying to get to Indy with these fucking clowns in the car with their bottles of Morning Breeze perfume.
What? Who? Okay.
You know what Morning Breeze is?
No.
You could have bought it at like Spencer's Gag Gifts, and it was fart smell in a bottle.
Oh boy.
And they started out from Walnut over there where Mike lived, right away with this fucking stuff, and I thought for sure somebody died in the fucking truck. It smelled that bad.
So were they? They never told me. Did they not tell you about it? They were just kind of squirting it every once in a while.
No, they didn't tell me about it. Actually, this guy Phil, he wanted to ride in the back seat. And I didn't know why. But the reason why is so he could put it on my shoulder. So he was putting this shit on my shoulder and all the way to Indy. Like, this is fucking 2-3 days of
no way. And you didn't know about it?
Yeah. And I didn't know about it. When I got to Indy, I called your dad. First thing I did, I said, "Boy, I don't give a fuck how good of customers these are. I don't care how much money they have. I'm not riding back with them. You need to send me a plane ticket." And your dad just laughed. He goes, "They're just fucking with you."
Oh, shit. Well, I mean,
I turn around and look, and they're both down there giggling. Both Mike and Phil were down there giggling.
I think the best part is it went on for a few days. That's the best. I mean, some of these,
for
a joke
few
like
days.
That just lasts a few minutes. But for that, they
I know, but they kept going. They kept,
so what were you thinking? Bad. Were you thinking like, "God, these stinky son of a bitches"?
No, I thought somebody needs to take this fucker to the hospital. This fucker smells. It's bad. I didn't even stop and think about, because when you're in a vehicle with the windows up, and Mike said he couldn't roll the windows down for some reason, I don't know, but I did roll the window down at one point and fucking just held my head out the window the whole way that we were driving.
Oh, that's so great.
But after that, I just, you know, you don't think straight. You can't think straight. This is fucking... smells like you're with a dead person in there.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was the memorable trip to Indy with Mike's 63 Impala. And that was also the first place I ever met Troy Trepagna.
Okay.
He had a pink Chevelle.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was looking at it, and it was his first car he ever built, he said. But it got my attention.
Yeah. No, he's cool. We had him on the podcast.
Wasn't up to his standards today, but he was infatuated with your dad at that time, you know?
Yeah, we had him on the podcast, and it was pretty cool. Because I remember he's around the age of, like, Rod Brogdon. And he would come out and probably. Yeah, so, you know, like late 50s now. Because you're a little bit older. But, yeah, good dude. Yeah, I remember him seeing...
No, he is. Troy is a good guy.
Yeah.
And everybody I meet likes him. So,
yeah, for sure. And a guy that went on that, you know, from a young kid that went on to, like, just be a positive influence in this industry, too, you know?
Yep. He built some nice cars.
Yeah, there's been some good influencers before that was even a term in our industry. Producers, if you will, right? And then, but there's been plenty of just.
But when you
think
about it, I mean, he gives a lot of credit to your father, along with a lot of other builders.
Yeah,
gives a lot of credit to your dad for getting them on that track. Because, I mean, that's what got him going, building hot rods, looking at Hot Rod Magazine with Boyd's builds and all the other stuff that was going on back then.
Well, and you know what? I think as time goes on, what's amazing to me, especially with social media and people sharing pictures, like. The amount of, like, the shop was pretty open, right? I mean, it wasn't like this lockdown, this skunk works type of operation where you couldn't come in. My dad was pretty open about it, especially like on a Saturday when there wasn't, you know, when there wasn't a lot going on, but my dad would be there. And
he would let people come in and turn people away.
Yeah, and I remember even in La Habra shop, you know, people walk up to that glass window and it'd be, you know, it'd be like a Saturday and he'd walk over and go, come on in, you know, take a walk around the shop.
Yeah, no, he was good about that, letting people come in and see. I do remember one time when your dad, he was letting people in, I think it was a Saturday, and he let these people come in. And Boyd told him, he says, you know, I don't want any pictures. I don't want you to take any pictures of anything in here, but you can come in and look, right?
Yeah.
So this guy's in there, and he's shooting from the hip with his camera.
Oh, sneaky style, right?
And your dad seen it.
Yeah.
And he fucking took it over. He went over there to the guy, took his camera out of his hand, pulled the film out of it, threw it on the ground, and started stepping on it. He goes, I told you no pictures.
Oh, jeez. When was that? Was that at Monroe?
Yeah, in Monroe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Dallas and I were watching, and we were just like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But, hey, he warned them, no pictures.
That's crazy, too.
Yeah, you know what these fuckers are going to do? They're going to be building these cars for freaking 50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I got to tell you, like, at the SEMA show 20 years ago, I mean, that was a problem. You're at your booth, and there would be people coming in and, you know, mostly Asian people, right?
And they're
not asking you questions. They're not interacting with you. They're not customers. They're taking pictures of these wheels. And then, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, getting to, I mean, nowadays you can pretty much get dimensions off a picture, you know, like, yeah. You know, your camera can just, you know, so it's crazy. Well, have we told the infamous Greg Weld story on here? Did we tell that one? Speaking of people. So this is in the early 90s, you know, when, I don't know, my dad just, and rightfully so, he had a problem with people copying all that, the wheels, you know, because
yeah,
it's just a problem now. But I remember.
Yeah, it wasn't even just people out of the country. It's people in the country.
Well,
like,
yeah. So
Sparborough.
Yeah. So they.
Sparborough, Budnick, Colorado Custom, just to name a few of them.
Oh,
you know?
Billet Specialties. I mean, Billet Specialties, first ad you'll see in any of the Hot Rod magazines is the Concourse, the Star. It's, you know, and you know what?
Just the same one.
Fast forward to 2024, I get along with most of these people now, you know. But back then, this was all new. I mean, you know, my dad was putting a lot of time and effort into this stuff, you know. And, you know, intellectual property was not respected by anybody, you know. You couldn't really copyright these designs too much because all they had to do was just change the cap, and you couldn't enforce it.
Right.
But back to my story. So, you know, they let at SEMA show. I mean, it's typical even now. They let the exhibitors in like an hour before the show. My dad's walking up to the booth and he sees this guy with a tape measure, and he's got a notepad. And he's measuring the cap, and he's measuring different shit. And he walks up. It's Greg Weld from Weld Racing. And my dad just laid into him.
Who Junior ended up working for later.
Oh,
right?
yeah. That's a whole nother story. But so my dad goes, hey, cocksucker, get away from my booth. And Greg's all, you can't call me a cocksucker. He goes, I just did, cocksucker. Now get out of my booth. And I was like, oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah, it was his favorite word.
And I got to tell you, man, I don't know if my dad ever got in a fist fight in his life, but I never saw him back down from anybody. And he was never afraid to lay into somebody if they were wrong.
Was it that guy or was it the Colorado Custom guy? One of them he got in a fight with in the elevator.
Oh, this is a good story. Yeah. So check this out. Oh, yeah. See, this is good. I'm glad we had you on today. Now you're jogging the memory. So I didn't go to – this was in Columbus. This was in Columbus at the
Good Guy. That could have been where we were.
Yeah. So were you there?
Yeah.
You were there? Oh. Were you there when this happened?
No. No,
okay,
I wasn't
good,
in
good.
The elevator.
You get a pass.
He got out of the elevator.
No, so check this out. So check this out. This is a story I heard. So his name was Al Manis from Colorado Custom.
Yep.
He's the one that...
Al Maynard.
No, Manis.
Maynard?
No, Manis.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Al something.
Yeah, Al. Call me Al. You can call me Al. So
Started with an M.
They're hanging out at the bar at the host hotel to Columbus. And I don't know, Al came over to my dad and said some shit. And my dad said some shit back. And this is, okay, also too, Bill Hancock was there, right? And Bill Hancock was, left. Bill Hancock worked for us for many years. Left.
Oh, yeah.
And he helped Al start Colorado Customs. So there's a beef there, right? Yeah. Al's not even in the wheel business at all. But Bill goes over there and then puts, hey, Al, you got a machining operation. We'll show you how to machine wheels and put wheels together. Colorado Custom went on to become a name. So there was some words exchanged. Mike Curtis was there, and they were sitting there in the bar, and then it's some words are exchanged, and then he goes over, and he goes, and Al smacks my dad. But at this point, I guess Bill grabs Al, and I wasn't there. I was back at home. I didn't go this year. Takes Al to his room. My dad's about to call the cops, but he didn't. My dad's like, fucking whatever, you know? Well, they get Al packed in a cab and off to the airport and gone because they're thinking the cops are going to come and going to get arrested.
Yeah.
So I heard this story on the Monday when they got back, and I was pissed, man, because I was like, damn it, I wish I was there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I wish I was there because, you know, he's your dad.
Absolutely.
And then I go to Mike Curtis.
You know what?
I go to Mike Curtis. And I said,
yeah, go.
Hey, you were sitting right there and you didn't do shit. My dad gets smacked and you don't do shit. He goes, this is right. I go, he got a pass on me because Mike had just had surgery, you know, from the accident a year before. And he had metal plates in his face. And he's like, oh, I didn't want to get punched in the face. And I was like, okay, whatever. But yeah, that was an interesting story. So, you know. I don't know. I mean, there's stories over the years of them, you know, being across from each other and, you know, it flipping each other off of different companies, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
So,
yeah. And then there was Budnick. Your dad wasn't unhappy when Budnick went out and started his company.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my dad's the one that brought Alan and his wife out here, right, to start. You know,
yeah, I know.
Boyd's Wheels, Alan learned
Sheila.
All.
Is that her name? Sheila,
yeah. Alan, and then he kind of learned the business by being there, and then he went off and started his own thing.
He just graduated from high school. He was taking a machine shop class, and Jamie Musselman was his neighbor and talked your dad into hiring Alan Budnick.
Yeah, something like that. Was it Jamie or Don Smith
Jamie's
or somebody?
Neighbor.
Yeah, one of those guys.
And then Budnick goes, when your dad started complaining, you know, bitching at him for doing it, he goes, well, you're not Fred Flintstone. You didn't invent the wheel. That's what Budnick told your dad. And I was there for that.
Oh, that's
classic. And I was there for that.
Oh, that I bet that one.
You're
over.
Not Fred Flintstone. You didn't invent the wheel.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, well,
there's some funny times though.
Yeah, and I, you know what, I see Alan every once in a while, you know, and I mean, he actually gave me a couple trophies that someone gave to him that my dad made. And he goes, I don't know how I ended up with these, but you want them? I said, yeah, I appreciate it. You know,
that's cool.
So you know,
yeah, Alan, I always got along good with Alan. I worked when I had a motorcycle accident back in the '80s, and I couldn't work on cars. Your dad put me in with Budnick to run a CNC machine.
Okay.
Not really run the machine. I just loaded the machine. Every time it needed loaded, I had to put new parts in it to get them. But yeah, he was really nice to me, Budnick was.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And he also got me my first job lowering trucks for traders after you and your dad and I had a falling out. I went to traders trucks. And Budnick got me that job.
Okay. That's how you got the job with Timmy? That's cool.
Yep. Because Budnick was selling wheels to traders along with everybody else, Weld, and everybody, I think, was selling. Tim bought everybody's wheels.
Yeah, you know? I think he supported the Boyd's brand quite a bit, but I think you also had to kind of, because there was, you know, I mean, it's just, I always say, like, listen, this market is pretty saturated, that the pie has been split up into a lot of different pieces, but people do, a variety is pretty, I like variety and competition too, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because the competition helps me, you know, bring the level of my product up. And back then, same thing. Even though, you know, no one liked anybody copying their shit. But, you know, I mean, when it comes down to a two-piece billet wheel with a covered lug hex cap, that all started with my dad and Boyd's, you know?
Yep.
So.
And do you remember the titty cap we called it?
The titty cap? No,
in between,
but you're going to. No.
When we went from knockoff to the hex cap, there was another cap in between there. They called it the titty cap. And that was Budnick's idea.
The titty cap.
He made just a round dome cap.
And was it a
lug nut?
Was it a pry off or no?
Or it had a little slot that you had to stick a screwdriver in there or whatever to get it off. But yeah, that's what it was.
The titty cap. I don't know if I.
And Budnick came up with that idea, but it didn't last long. I bet a couple of months, and your dad fucking put a kibosh on it and said, "No, I'm going to do the nuts to make it look like the heck."
Yeah, because all the original wheels, like the original ones that they did, were true knockoff, right? When Butera was doing them. Like the first three sets. And then, that knockoff look. Go ahead.
Speaking of that, did you see the picture of the wheel I sent you the other day?
Yeah. You have an original three-piece Sport 5 in your...
I have an original set of the three-piece. They're 14s and 15s. I have an original set. They came... Your dad made them for a guy in Wisconsin here. He was building a S10 pickup. And he hired your dad to make the wheels, and he hired him to make billet aluminum drop spindles because Beltec wasn't making them yet. This was 82, I think.
Did you share those pictures? You share those pictures where?
Huh?
You shared those pictures in the group text? Is that where? I'm not trying to find it right now.
Well, I sent you a bunch of pictures, but one was a close-up.
Oh, no. You sent it to
aluminum,
me on Facebook. That's what you did.
It's a sport.
We call it the Sport 5.
Sport 5, yep, the Sport 5, and it's a 15-inch, but I have the 14s and the 15s. I have a set of them.
Yeah, 14s have been just kind of a dead deal, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, those are... Oh, there it is right there, yeah. Yeah, because all the original stuff is all three-piece. You know?
Right. That's what, and I bought that truck from your dad, and he was supposed to put Western wheels. You know the picture of the truck you sent me the other day?
Yeah.
Or a couple weeks ago or whatever?
Yeah, I posted
that. That truck had Western wheels on it.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm not 100% positive, but I think that was the truck that I seen when I ordered my truck from your dad.
Oh, okay.
And it had Western wheels, and I told him, I want the same wheels as that truck that you sold to, and I believe it was Jamie Musselman. I want the same wheels as that truck had, and it was the Western wheels.
Yeah.
He goes, okay. Well, then when the truck got, you know, 75% done, he says, yeah, it's looking really good, but needs some different wheels. I go, yeah, what wheels are you thinking? He goes, Boyd wheels. I go, of course you are.
Yeah.
Of course you are. So and the wheels at that time were $2,850.
That's crazy. And you're talking, and that was what, 82?
82.
Yeah.
Yep.
$2,850. And back then, I'm sure people were probably like, "Boy, are you crazy? Who's going to pay $2,850 for a set of wheels?"
They probably did. But I trusted him, and I said, "You know what, Boyd? I can't afford that." And he goes, "Don't worry, I'll give you a deal." And that was the time when I came to get the truck. I paid for the truck. I hadn't paid for the wheels yet. I go, how much do I owe you for the wheels? He goes, $28.50.
Oh, and back then, that's a lot of money.
A
lot of money.
That is a deal. He said, that is a deal. I go, too late now. They're already on the car. You've already drilled the axles and everything else that you had to do.
Man. And those were, you had the twisted ones.
Concourse.
Right? Oh, yeah, Concourse.
Concourse.
Nice.
Concourse. Yeah. I loved them. That was my favorite wheel for the longest time, Concourse.
Yeah, it's still a cool wheel. And, you know, I've made them, I've made them in different sizes with the soft lip. You know, I think that
wheel. Yeah, you know what? Some reason, I don't like them as much in the bigger sizes. For some reason, I like the smaller sizes look better.
Well, you're still over there watching Adam 12 and Perry Mason, you know? Come on.
Maybe because yeah.
These darn kids with them big wheels. These kids.
I didn't
kids.
See any of those on Adam 12 or Perry Mason.
I don't know, man.
Maybe
I mean,
the background.
I mean, have you seen? Okay, so you were working at Traders when the biggest thing you were putting on these trucks, you were putting a 5.7 kit with 17s Seven. On it, right?
Yeah, 17 yeah. probably was the biggest wheel.
But did you have you seen my daily driver, the green short bed with the I got
the green what?
I'll send you a picture of it.
What vehicle?
It's my truck, my 94 Chevy short bed.
Huh? No.
No, you should see it because it looks pretty bitchin'.
I seen the one you got from Craig Meredith.
Yeah, no, I'm not messing with that one. That one's doesn't have that one's got the original 16s in it, and it will always have the original 16s as long as I own it. But yeah, I don't know. I think now with the and it's just amazing. Like it's like, you know, it was pretty boring back then. You know, you had Beltec, right? You had drop spindle and springs and longer shackle in the rear,
you know,
and it's like a flip kit.
I can add to that because when I was doing the trucks for your dad in 87, Beltec hadn't even made drop spindles yet.
Yeah, I think you guys were cutting them up on Dick Brogdon's truck, right? That was the original prototype?
I don't know. There was a bunch of them that we did, but all I remember is that Larry Sergioff taught me how to do it. And basically what I did was we cut the top of the control arm off where the ball joint mounted.
Yeah.
And then we would plate it with 4130 plate and then change the angle of the ball joint so we could cut the coils and not lose the steering radius.
Yeah, look at your phone for a second.
I never seen that one.
Yeah, so I just...
Where'd you get that?
That truck originally...
Where'd you get that vehicle?
It came from Canada. I bought it about a year ago, and then I just did 20s with a Beltec 4.6 on it. I just didn't like the way it sat, the way I had it, and so I talked to Alden American and got their coilovers for the front, and then did the 7-inch drop in the rear. So it rides good. I like it. It's got 28.5s and 2010s. You know, sits decent.
Yeah, it looks good. And you know what? The Ninjas don't look bad in that size.
Yeah, I had it.
I just didn't like the trunk.
For those of you that's seen the old pictures, I have the set of Vendettas, which is like a Slayer or Harm wheel. But this is more, these Deuce Ninjas, I got them when I sold my Tahoe. I got these back and then made two more and then put them on here. I like it better. It's more period correct, but it's, you know, upsized.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks good.
Yeah, it's a cool
truck. And that was
cool
somebody truck. Else did that truck or your dad did that truck?
No, I did that. When I got it, it had...
The truck, it was stock. It was stock.
It had a bunch of just... I posted a picture, a bunch of chrome stuff all over it and just... This guy just put, you know, it was a 90,000 mile truck when I got it and bucket seats and that's cool. Just a little daily driver. Nothing. Crazy. Just nothing.
Probably had the plastic roll pan or if it had any roll pan.
No, it had bumpers, stock bumpers and stock trim and everything on it. And like I said, the guy like went to Pep Boys and bought every, it was a gamble when I bought it because he put every like chrome add-on, a bug shield, window things, and as I'm pulling this off, I'm like
mud flaps.
No, he that's did. That's the only thing.
That's what ended the relationship between me and Trader. I said, I ain't putting no mud flaps on a truck. I can't do it.
Oh, come on. He wanted to put mud flaps
on
trucks.
Out. He wanted to put mud flaps on it.
Why?
That's what the customer wanted.
Oh. Seriously, you walked out of Traders over mud flaps?
Yeah.
Something else must have been going on.
Well, maybe. you know, there was mud flaps, there was fucking bumper covers, there was all kinds of shit that I didn't want to do. I was used to doing it the way we did it at your dad's, which was weld the holes in the bumper and paint the bumper. We didn't put a rubber plastic bumper cover on the front of the truck. It looked like a big fucking
Well, and now they, I mean, you know, you could buy the smooth bumpers, you know, and buy the roll pans and all that stuff.
But then everybody was going with the bumper covers.
Yeah. Well,
it was it was a lazy way, but Trader liked it because it didn't take any time. He could have all these bumper covers painted the stock colors. All he'd do is point one out and he'd pop it on and be on their way.
Yeah, lazy way.
No waiting. No waiting.
And how long were you at Traders for?
You ever hear? Probably a year. I remember it was 1989 because that was the year my son was born, and him and his wife and the secretary all came to my wedding when I got married.
That's cool.
Which was nice to me. Yeah, it was good. You remember a guy named Sparborough?
Yeah.
He made wheels as well?
Yeah.
He was like the first after your dad to make billet wheels.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in your dad's office and he was on the phone with this guy and he goes, "You know what, Sparborough? The next idea you get will be your first one." And I just sat there and thought about that for a minute. I go, "Wait a minute. He just said the guy's never had an idea."
No. The way he says it is your next original idea will be your first. That's what he said.
Yeah. But I sat there and went, "Hey, that's pretty good.
That's a good put down.
Can I use that boy?"
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was just in the, and like I said, you know, this isn't in the heyday where. It's just like anything else. Anything else that's like a little lightning in a bottle, everyone wants to copy it, you know. And then it's I mean, at some end of it, it's not like I mean, I don't even know if Boyd's Wheels could have kept up with the demand. The demand was huge, right? It was huge. I mean, anybody that I mean, I don't even know what percentage you would put to it, but out of all the 88 to 98 body style trucks. Like how many of those were converted into, you know, how many of the two-wheel drive ones were converted into some kind of sport truck or had some aftermarket products modified to it? Because, I mean, talking Traders was doing this
probably
for...
more than half.
I don't know.
75%.
I don't. It's probably seemed like that. But, Dwayne, they built, I don't even, Steve, you can Google it. I don't even know. It's. I know that the most numbers were, I think, the square body trucks because they were the longest running year. But once the sport truck thing hit, it probably seemed like 75%, but it wasn't. But even if it was 15%,
that's probably
a lot.
In Southern California, it was.
In Southern California, it was for sure. But I mean, look, okay, you know what's a pretty wild thing to think about is I remember being approached like every Escalade and Expedition in like 2000, from 2001 to 2005 had, maybe not even that long of a period of time, had spinners. Remember spinners?
Oh, yeah.
Spinners. When's the last time? Where did they all go? Where's the spinner graveyard? Where's it at?
They became fidget spinners.
And fidget spinners. Junior was trying to talk your dad into it, and your dad told him to get lost.
Yeah. Junior always was trying. It was a day late and a dollar short with some of those things because, you know, those things, I mean, because when they went to bolt-on spinners, and then the ultimate demise was the plastic snap-on bolt-on spinners sold at Pep Boys for like $50.
Yeah.
Because I remember when Davin first created that design, I mean, they were expensive, too. They were like $5,000 or something back then. It was like a legitimate.
Who created that?
A company called Davin, D-A-V-I-N, created this and had a patent on it. But it was all integrated.
It was
all integrated in the cap area. It looked like it was. I give it an interesting, but it was definitely a gimmick. And then
I mean
we had people going, "Hey, Boyd, you got to make us these spinners," and my dad's like, "Nope, not gonna do it." You know, not gonna do
it. Hear what he said. I can just imagine what he said.
No. I mean, it just was, yeah, just gimmicks, you know? I mean, just like the...
Yeah.
You
know. It's been a long road, Chris. But Billet Wheels...
Go ahead.
Me going to work for your dad was the best thing I ever did in my life. The best thing. Hands down. Nothing ever even compared to that, you know?
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Because it got me where I am today, you know?
Yeah.
It would be fucking nobody but a farmer out here sitting in a cornfield fucking probably working on
tractors. You had a union job, right, when you were out when you were younger?
Yeah, I did. I worked for the Iron Workers Union.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, you probably would have retired, you know, as an iron worker, right? Maybe had the hobby of hot rods.
Who knows? Because I didn't like it. I didn't like it. And what I didn't like it because I'd see these old guys that were working there. And I'd say, oh, they're 65, 60, yeah. You know, in their 60s. And I thought that was ancient, you know. But they would be walking in with their lunch pail and hardly fucking walking. They got a cane in one hand and a lunch pail in the other hand. And they're trying to get to the time clock. And I go, that's not going to be me. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah,
I'm telling you right now, that's not going to be me. So that's why I got out of that place and did what I wanted to do, which was hot rods.
Yeah, man, and you were...
I didn't even care if it was hot rods or what. Any kind of car is all I wanted.
Well, also too, right? I mean, you know, back then, I mean, it's hard for people to move from. I mean, I don't know, man. It seems like it's hard for people to move to California. It always has been. I always watched that with. You know, my dad hiring people
I thought it was the easiest thing I ever did.
Yeah, but I'm saying back then that's what I was getting at. Back then it was easier, right? But now it's pretty hard, man. I mean,
I had been laid off from my iron workers job. I was laid off and I was collecting unemployment and it was in the middle of winter. And I just went, you know what? And they wanted me to go out and picket, stand there on the corner and picket because we were on strike.
Yeah.
So I said, it was easy for me. I had a house already, and I told my roommate, I said, hey, do me a favor, watch the house and take care of my dog. I'm leaving. I'm going to California.
Was that Studley?
I don't know. Yeah, Studley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then
I didn't know how long it was going to be, but it ended up being fucking damn near 40 years.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Well, I mean...
Yeah, almost.
Well, it was a wild ride.
It was. It was. I mean...
You know?
Not only with jobs and work related, with my life, you know?
Yeah.
On drugs most of the way through the fucking early 80s, and then... getting married and having a kid and all that, everything. It just made me who I am.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I mean, as far as the hot rod scene, you were there at the, you know, I mean, just between working at Hot Rods by Boyd and then working at Traders. I mean, just those two
things.
And
Lombardo.
Oh, and Lombardo for sure. Right. I mean,
And then
that's not even, there was all kinds of cool shit that happened even before the TV show thing even hit.
Hey, I got a question real quick. If you remember, your dad did a purple Ford pickup truck.
Yes.
And it was probably around 2000 or 99 or.
No, it was earlier. It was earlier than that.
Was it?
Yeah, because it was on the cover.
What happened to that truck?
I don't know.
Did Ford take it back or something?
I don't remember. I thought that thing popped up a while back, but... Yeah.
That thing was badass. I mean, I remember he had it at Lombardo's for some reason.
It was
a
Lightning.
Why.
It was an early Lightning. It was on the cover of Sport Truck, and I don't know. I'll have one of the listeners will refresh my memory or
but
someone's got a copy.
Badass.
I think I have a copy of it. Yeah,
I got to drive it when I worked for Lombardo, and I did a burnout all the way down Palmdale Street over there.
Oh, wow.
That thing was badass.
Yeah, you know what? I have a copy of that somewhere here.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
was a cool truck. That was
really
a really
cool
truck.
Really cool.
And I just never seen it since then. So I started thinking, you know, like Lombardo, we used to do all those Chevy trucks for Chevy, and they would just go back to Chevy and be crushed. And I thought, well, maybe that's what happened to that, because it was given to your dad by Ford, I believe.
Probably. I mean, it probably was crushed, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them vehicles that the factories donated for SEMA did because they didn't want the liability.
Yep. Yeah, that's
after
like,
you chopped up the frame and put different suspension and everything. I don't even know if they understood what you did, but they just didn't want that to be over their head.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Well, then GM and Ford got into the dollar car thing where you actually got to keep the car, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you signed the contract. You had to hold it for 18 months, I think it was. You know,
I remember Lombardo. He would get like new Corvettes. Remember the ZR32 Corvette Roadster that he built?
No. Oh yes, yes,
purple
yes,
Roadster.
Yes.
The ZR32 they called it.
Yes.
Anyways, that car they gave him the R1 Corvette. That must have been like the first year they made his ZR1 Corvette. But they gave him the Corvette, and he took all the parts off that to build that car. Wheels. I mean, I think they copied the wheels. Maybe your dad even did the wheels. I'm not sure, but anyways, that car, that ZR32, that thing got crushed. I'm sure of it.
Really?
But Lombardo took the Corvette, and then he would start selling parts off the Corvette, even though he was supposed to use them. He started selling them because he had extra parts, and you know how Lombardo was. He fucking sell his mother if he had a chance.
Jeez. Some of the stories you told of working there were pretty interesting.
I would go back and forth because I worked for your dad first, and then I went to work for Lombardo after that. And your dad would, I remember when I'd go, your dad would say, "Hey, do me a favor, run this down to Huntington Beach for Lombardo, give it to Lombardo." Okay. And it was an envelope, and I'm assuming it was cash. But I didn't open it up because I wasn't told to. I was just told to deliver it to Lombardo. So I do that, and then I'd come back. Your dad goes, "Did you count your fingers when you got back?" I go, "Why?" He goes, "That fucking crook tried to steal one of your fingers, probably."
That's funny.
But he was telling me how about a crook Lombardo was, and Lombardo do the same thing with your dad. "Hey, run this down to Boyd. Count your fingers when you get done." I go, "You fuckers are both the same."
That's funny, man. Yeah, no, that was...
It was.
Fun times, man.
It was.
Well...
It was.
Hi, this is Chris Coddington. I'd like to invite you to our new YouTube channel, Hot Rods by Boyd. Up there, you will see legacy footage involving my father, Boyd Coddington, along with the latest and greatest things that are happening here at Hot Rods by Boyd. Go to YouTube and check out Hot Rods by Boyd. Like and subscribe.
All right, listeners, thank you guys for tuning in again to another episode of the Hot Rods by Boyd podcast. This was episode 80, and it's actually going to be part one of a multi-part series talking about the show and everything that went along behind the scenes and whatnot. We got some new episodes coming your way, so stay tuned.